Hey, this is David Kay, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Wookiees stand out in a crowd. It's good to see you too, old buddy.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me once again, as always, for the 12 months of Star Wars, is Mr. David Draper. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm all right. Hanging in there.
Hanging in there, huh? Yep. Once again, today we head to a galaxy far, far away. That's right, we continue the 12 months of Star Wars Spotlight as we make our way back to the Skywalker Saga 4. Today we will be discussing Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Rise. Oh god, that hurt. This was a movie that happened.
This was several movies that happened and got cut into one movie.
Oh, so he was.
Did you notice how there were like all these plot points that were like introduced and then kind of quickly resolved? And
yep. So he was trying to pull a Lucas. He was trying to have all like 12 parts of his.
I think they didn't know what they were doing. They literally did a whole at least one other movie because Matt Smith was the villain of that other movie.
Yeah,
you know, Doctor Who. All that's I think almost all that's cut except for maybe the stuff with the guy with the knife. I have the knife. yeah. I think it's a holdover from that. I'm not sure. Like it's sort of hard to tell what and they reshot it and reshot it and reshot it because it kept not testing well.
Like, yeah.
So it's like five movies in one. It's not that I had so many ideas that I had to cram them all together. I had one idea. It was called Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, I mean, Lucas at least had multiple legitimate story arcs that he had to like try to cram together in Phantom Menace.
Right.
Like this was, are we doing this or are we doing that? Or are we doing the other thing? Hey, Poe has a girlfriend from this other planet. Oh, there she's gone. And she's gone.
Yeah, you're gonna.
You know, she shows up at the end in a Y-wing. You know, that was a plot. That was part of the. No. What I mean is, there's stuff that's either written or filmed of Poe getting her that Y-wing. It's like part of the deal or something. Like that's. There's all this shit that like got cut or left out. Like and it's weird because I had a little bit of a Mandela effect watching this film at the very end because there's a scene that I thought happened. And it turns out I just read about it in a book, and it didn't happen. We'll get there. I'm sure it will come up.
Mm-hmm. So, like I mentioned in the last episode, all as I remembered about The Last Jedi before we did it the last episode was the whole sunset scene with all the giant walkers. That's all I remember from that movie up until we just did the last podcast episode. This, I saw two trailers. And then I completely skipped it. Not because I didn't want to see the movie. There was stuff going on in 2019. December of 2019. Yeah, at the time, Karen and I were moving across the country from Chicago to Oregon. So didn't exactly have time to go see Star Wars in theaters. And from 2019 for the last 5 years, I've heard nothing but horrible things. Like, I've heard nothing but people saying this movie sucks, this movie that. Oh my god, they've killed Star Wars, blah, 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 blah. So other than looking at the Wikipedia for the traditional facts of who wrote it, who's in it, who's this, who's that, which we know who's in it. I mean, it's Rey, it's Finn, it's Daisy Ridley, it's John Boyega, it's the ghost of Luke, it's the ghost of, well, unfortunately, sadly, it's the ghost of Leia. Obviously, she had passed away by the time this movie, because that's all archival footage.
Yeah, it's all footage from separate films for the other films.
Right.
Which is weird. Yeah. Like, I had, this time around, I really, it wasn't as bad as it, but did you ever see the South Park where they brought back Isaac Hayes?
Yes.
it wasn't that bad, but there were a few moments where I almost felt like, Randy, you are looking good.
Yeah.
You know, never underestimate a droid. It's like,
yeah.
There were a few moments that felt a little bit like that. Like they had to steer the conversation in a certain way to get like that line that she had delivered on camera.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So I had never, so this is the first and probably the only time I will watch the funny thing about the sequel trilogy is, folks, unlike the original trilogy.
It's not good.
Well, we know
sorry,
where
Chief Dave. Chief, go on. I'm sorry. Go on.
We know where Dave's rating is going to go. Unlike the original, I almost said prequel trilogy. Unlike the original trilogy, unlike the original films, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, those movies have such a classic iconography of wanting to relive those moments. And none of these three films, save maybe this one, the other two films, I probably will never, ever watch them again. We've recorded these podcasts. These podcasts are the record that we've watched these movies in my mind. This one, I might want to in maybe 25 years' time when I'm old and gray. Not that I'm already not old and gray now, but, you know, by the time I'm, what am I, 44 now? So by the time I'm 64 or 66 or 68 or whatever, maybe I'll want to rewatch this one because I didn't have a bad time with this movie. I really enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, it wasn't as we were saying before we started recording, it's not that it's painfully bad, but it's just disappointing. It's a mess, you know, and that's the big thing. It's a mess. And it's also got all the issues I had with Force Awakens doubled. Like, did you notice that the Falcon has its circular radar dish back?
Yep.
Because that's the Millennium Falcon that I know, that I grew up with, even though he's the guy that switched it to the square one.
Yeah.
But that's what there's no reason to switch it either, because it never got damaged in any of the films that I remember. And did you notice, of course you noticed, but like Anakin's fucking lightsaber is whole and hearty. And like, this is the same lightsaber he kept leaving behind. He kept letting it fall and forgetting. It meant nothing to him. But because it's the iconic one, it's not even the iconic one to me, because it's Luke's lightsaber.
Yeah, it's Luke's
lightsaber. That's the cool one.
Yeah, that's the cool
one. In the end, like, Rey buries Leia and Anakin's lightsaber in the desert. It's like, that's not Luke's lightsaber.
Yeah, that's not the... Yeah, that's Anakin's lightsaber that was given to Luke that became Luke's lightsaber, but
For a hot minute, yeah.
Right, for a hot minute, but if we're actually factually trying to say it's Luke's lightsaber is the one that he built in Jedi.
And also, I love all the memes about, you know, so many younglings were killed with this lightsaber.
That's right!
So it's special. I mean, it's just like... That whole sort of, and remember I told you, like, you liked when we talked about Last Jedi, you talked about how Ren's tie, whatever, was really cool.
Yeah.
And notice he was back. I mean, it wasn't a pure tie interceptor, but it was basically a tie interceptor.
It was sort of a tie in. Like, I like
the ship. Too different.
Yeah, I like the ship in the last movie more than the ship in this movie.
Yeah, it was cool. It was an evolution. As opposed to a regression.
Yeah.
And since when can TIE fighters fucking jump into hyperspace? Like, there's a whole sequence where they're being chased through hyperspace. And by the way, like, I can't remember where, but they explain what that whole magic guessing where you jump in hyperspace is. It's just, it's literally a guess. It's an estimated guess. We just calculate where you're probably going to go, and we figure that out, and that's where we jump. But they're being chased all over the place by these stupid TIE fighters, jumping into unlikely places.
I'm just going to say what my first note is. We're not going to get down to the notes yet, but my first note is light speed skipping? ? Like, when the hell did that become a thing?
When Guardians of the Galaxy did it?
Oh, God. Marvel, Star Wars, Disney owns it all.
I don't think it was mad that Disney owned it. I think it was like, wow, that's cool.
I like the effect. I like the special effect of them doing it. I just wish there was like, you know how some people say that the scene in Jedi that they cut of Luke actually building the lightsaber should have been still in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this needed for me. The light speed skipping, like, who came up with this? Who started this? Why are we doing it this way?
Oh, my friend. That is this entire movie. Who did that? Why did they do that? Right. Who are those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, look, okay. Poe has an ex-girlfriend that has history together. What history? Well, never mind about that.
Yeah, never mind about that.
Never mind any things he did, blah, blah, blah. He knows his girl and blah, 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 and she's mad at him and she's going to help. And don't worry about it.
And her planet's going to get blown up and she's going to die, supposedly.
There's more stormtroopers that escaped. That seems like a neat plot point, particularly for Finn. Don't worry about it. They've got warthog horses. Don't worry about it.
I was like... Oh, we got to the scene where they're like, oh, they've landed a thing. Oh, prepare to track them. We can't track them. Why can't you track them? Because they're not on speeders. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I didn't remember that line. I mean, I saw it this time, but I hadn't remembered that line. I'm like, I literally, that was one of the things I went through the whole movie waiting for was when they rock, because they're like, wait. That tower is on a planet. I could have sworn they rode those horses on a starship because that was the stupidest damn thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
And then it was like, oh, we're going to transfer it to this ship. It was like, oh, okay, okay. Okay, we're going to get to the warthog horses on the spaceship. Thank goodness. I don't want to judge this movie unfairly.
Oh, God.
The knife. The knife that has a map, has like the shape of Death Star wreckage. Okay, so he made the knife after it crashed. Okay, that's fair. Okay, it's sitting in an ocean. I don't know if you know how salt water and metal get along.
They don't.
Great.
Yeah.
And you can't say it's space metal. It doesn't rust because every shot of that thing was rusty and like there are giant waves smashing against it, but it stayed the exact same shape for 40 years or 30 years.
Yeah,
because he died when she was still a baby. She was still a little girl. So it was at least 20 years.
Yeah.
Of being pounded by waves and sitting just.
But this is a movie for Star Wars is for children.
Yeah, you understand that like okay, there are a lot of terrible things that are for children that are stupid that nobody likes. The things people like are the good things for children that don't treat them like they need bike helmets and a special bus.
Yes, exactly. And what I appreciated about this movie is, and you're probably going to disagree with this, which is fine. It's out of the three films, it is the only one that I actually like Kylo in certain areas where he's trying to shed that off and just be Ben. And I like how they do the Force stuff. Like, I thought how they use the Force, because it's different. It's not what we've seen before. It's the power of two, because that's Disney's thing now. It must be the power of two. I mean, I know it's always been master and apprentice, and the power of two has always been a thing. But, like, Disney's really trying to hammer that home, especially with the thing that they tried to do, like, 100 years ago that's supposed to take place before all this. Yes, yeah, yes.
Well, that wasn't the power of two. That was the power of one, the power of two, the power of many.
Yes, many. And then they all died. Yes, and then they all died. And there you go, folks. That's our review of The Acolyte. In case you haven't heard the other Star Wars episodes on the podcast, and if you haven't, go back and listen. The power of many. But I like Kylo in this.
I like the weird stuff they do with the Force all along because, like, people don't seem to understand that we saw a very thin slice of the Star Wars universe in the original films.
Right.
The whole point, the whole reason that people thought that you could, like, do sequels and do sidequels and do all these things is because we only saw a very small slice. Like, almost every planet in the original trilogy is in the Outer Rim or very remote, very primitive. So we never saw a city planet, you know?
Yeah.
We've got two Jedi. They're both really old, and they're both kind of like – and they're basically trying to teach the kid how to read, how to walk, you know? So they're not doing advanced stuff. Like, So to see new stuff, like new Jedi powers, I'm fine. I like all that stuff. And I like how they actually used it this time a couple of times very cleverly. And I think you know, Kylo Ren / Ben Solo is the most interesting character in the films. I think he's got the best arc. Except that he dies stupidly.
Oh my!
Stupidly.
Let's get that out of the way, because that whole scene, I kept yelling at my, because it. So I watched the first hour and I had like 40 minutes left. So I watched all the movie as of this recording, folks. You'll hear this way later in the future in December when I eventually release this in 2024.
How's the Civil War going, kids?
Yeah, exactly. I watched this last night. I sat here and I took notes and I took screenshots and whatever. I got to the point where there was 43 minutes left in the film. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll watch it today. Like, I'll watch the rest of it today before we do the recording. So that's what I did. Except I watched it on my phone and I'm sitting there yelling at my phone. Don't kiss her. Don't kiss her. Don't kiss him. Don't kiss him. And I'm like, ah, you idiots. I don't know what else they could have done in that scene between her saving him and him saving her and then him dying. I don't know what, like, a nice hug or something. I don't freaking know, but, like, I saw that kiss coming a mile away.
Well, yeah.
And then I knew
the Raylos had to get their, their thing.
Is that...
Yes.
Is that really? Oh, my God.
Yes.
This is the first time
I've heard. There were
Raylos. Oh, my God. No. Terminology in this world today is not just fan fiction, just terminology. Oh my God,
there were Raylos. it's weird. Like, a lot of Star Wars fans like really got pissed off with the force healing thing, and I'm like, to me that seems like the power, like the most obvious use of the force ever. And nobody bitched about it when Grogu did it in Mandalorian, because he did it to Mando like in the second episode. But yeah. Like, it's. The force is created by, it's an energy field created by all living things.
Yeah.
Of course you'd be able to manipulate, of course, but I mean, it makes sense that you'd be able to manipulate it to help living things. How come they didn't keep people from dying? Because they were already dead. Well, I mean,
that's, you know, right.
Rey was mostly dead.
Rey was mostly. Well, you got to save the main characters. I mean, you got to.
Okay. Okay.
What?
First of all, we had to save her because she's a girl. And Kylo Ren's a boy. In the modern era, that's why we got to save her. And we got to keep those Palpatine genes going. And I looked, that dude looks nothing like Ian McDiamond.
No. Whatever it is, yeah. No.
After the movie came out, they were suddenly like, everyone was like, wait, Palpatine had a kid after he died? Like, it was a clone. I'm like, he don't look nothing like Palpatine. I thought maybe it was going to be the mom, because there was Bad Batch, right? I'm going all over the place, but there was a cartoon called Bad Batch, for those of you who don't know, and it was about like this weird clone of a girl, and there's this splinter group of clone troopers that kind of like got attached to her. And wanted to protect her because there was something, and her design kind of looks like the Clone Wars version of Palpatine. And the whole thing is, she's a perfect clone of Boba Fett. And I'm like, well, number one, I can think of a couple of things that are wrong with that statement. Like, she has blonde hair, and also your uterus. But other than that, she's a perfect clone. Like, and why would they care about a perfect clone? But if she was a clone of Palpatine, that would make sense that they would want to keep her. And then maybe she would grow up and have a baby one day, and that baby would be Rey, and it would all make sense. And it's almost like my brain is like somebody who actually like cares about Star Wars and tries to make things work and make sense and hold together, as opposed to she's a Palpatine because she can't be a nobody. Oh my God, not Rey, not our Rey. She can't just, remember the last time I said I love that she was nobody, because it was a very proletarian, a great Jedi could come from anywhere. It didn't have to be from one of the sacred bloodlines. Nope, she's a Palpatine.
And technically, this movie more than anything else, because the other two movies, it wasn't really super implied, but Finn is more of a Jedi than she is.
That was the thing he kept not telling her. Yes,
right. Like, he kept, having the things and having the feelings and doing this and doing, like, all this and all that. Number one, I like the visual effects in this movie. I
they
love
look good.
The
they look good.
I love the color palette. That's the one thing
we'll
I love.
Put that on the box. I love the color palette, Mike Blanchard.
Well, funny, but my point is that when they are doing the light speed skipping, and it's if people go onto my Facebook, you'll see. Well, probably, but I'll have to put the post in the episode post for Christmas, but. As of this recording, when we're recording this, I took a couple of screenshots. One of the screenshots I grabbed is of the Millennium Falcon when they light speed skip, right before they get eaten by the thing in the green whatever
thing or something, whatever,
you know, whatever it is. Yeah, but like just the color palette that they use in this movie, and I like how even though good majority of the stuff are obviously around Exegol is dark like it should be because it's the Emperor and the Empire and the First Order and the Last Order and the Fatal Order or whatever the hell Order 66 you're talking about now. I love that it's all lightning. I love that it's all like it's bright shades of blue and green lightning up against the dark. It was just so nice. It's probably the best looking color palette in a Star Wars film since Empire.
The design, I said at the beginning, it's a well-made bad film. Mm-hmm. The design work is great. Like, Exegol looks cool. What is it? Why is it there? Who are all these dudes in the robes? there's this massive stadium full of dudes in robes. Who are they? Like, are they the souls of the previous Sith Lords that Palpatine/Sidious absorbed? Are they actual people? I don't know. They don't know. It just looked cool.
So this reminds me of the time, was it 2010? Yeah, it came out in 20. Yeah, when Tron Legacy came out, before all of that happened, there was a Comic-Con where at San Diego.
I know, I was there.
You were there at that panel?
I wasn't at the panel. No, I went. I did go to the secret Tron Club.
Okay.
Where like they showed the trailer on this, like it was a reproduction of the bar,
right,
in the movie, and they showed the trailer on this big screen, and like when the colors changed in the trailer, all the LEDs in the room changed. Mm-hmm. It was really cool, and you got in it through Finn's Arcade, and it was hidden somewhere in the streets of San Diego, and
yeah.
My stupid friends all wanted to go, and I was like, no, I don't want to go, but it was cool. I will freely admit it was cool, and I still have my little coin purse full of Flynn's Arcade. Tokens.
Nice. When they did the panel at the Comic-Con that year, they had the entire audience. That's in the movie that the Disc Wars. That's the Comic-Con audience. So my thinking is that because we have no explanation, I wish this was true, but I don't think it was because the pandemic was about to hit us. 2018 maybe Comic-Con. I wish all of these guys in robes and making noises, I wish that was another Comic-Con audience thing, because that would have been a cool Easter egg.
We would have heard about that though. Yeah, we. I mean,
yeah, no, Comic-Con, I know that, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. I wish that's what it was, even though that's not what it is. I wish that's what it was. Because I thought that would have been cool. But yeah, we don't know who the guys in the robes are. I mean, that's like trying to figure out who the ancient spirits of evil are that give Mumra his power.
But at least they're a thing, and like they do have like. Because I remember in the very last episode, like they turn against Mumra. They're like, "You failed your stupid mission, and we're going to punish you. We're going to give you one last shot." I mean, there's not much to it, but it's also like a cartoon based on a children's toy,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a multi-million-dollar blockbuster, billion-dollar franchise that like they've had, and by that point they've had like years to get ready. I'm not saying you have to explain every little thing, but like Jesus,
yeah.
Like do you know what planet they were on at the beginning where he finds the Wayfinder?
Oh God,
that was Mustafar.
Was it?
Remember in episode 3 with all the trees,
right?
And all the guys with big hats that don't look like bugs.
Yes,
remember all those guys?
God.
Remember all the lava that was on Mustafar? Yeah, that was supposed to, I think that was, I'm 90% sure that was supposed to be Mustafar. And it's like, it looks nothing like Mustafar. Have you watched the movie? And by the way, they actually say, as of November of last year, but as of a year ago, at this point, yeah, it'll be literally a year ago, they were actually selling those. They were still selling those stupid Wayfinder things at Disney World.
Oh, wow.
Because they're so cool and everybody wants one. Speaking as a huge fanboy, I do not own one, which tells you what I think of that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I did not believe you, but Kylo Ren leads a vicious assault against the Alizmek colonists on a healing Mustafar. I didn't even I saw the red. Like, I'm like, ooh, cool, bright, shiny red planet. Yay. I'm like, wait, what? Huh.
Why is Mustafar healing? How do planets heal? Like, it's
just...
everything about this is stupid. I believe you.
That's how Wikipedia says it in its synopsis here. I don't know how it's healing. I have no idea. I mean,
why is it healing?
This isn't what's the DC Mogo, Migo, Migo, whatever the hell the DC.
What?
No, not war. Yeah, no, not war. There's a planet in one of our franchises that's an actual living planet.
One of our franchises.
I don't freaking know.
Our franchises.
Sorry,
I've been paying attention since about 2016. It's not for us anymore. Clearly,
it is.
And gender fluid people. They're not for us. Not for old men who grew up with this stuff and love them. They're for young hip people that like this stuff and don't watch.
I think I've mentioned in every other Star Wars episode that we've done to this point so far here in Size Studio 2009 that I think I saw Jedi when I was either 8, 9, or 10. So that would have either been 88, 89, or 90. So by 1990, okay, I was 10 years old. I had seen Jedi. I had loved Jedi. Fast forward to 2024, and I'm 44 years old, and every single time the pirate shows up, the scoundrel shows up, and I'm like, hero time, let's go, because you know he's going to say something that we're all going to love. Every time I saw Lando in this, I'm like, yeah, let's go, let's do it, because it was fun. Like, that's what this, like, you say this isn't for us.
I'm being facetious. Modern,
I understand.
I mean, they say that every time they make it, and then they get mad when we don't go watch it, so.
Well, I mean.
Although, just, to be fair, this, I think this movie made $1 billion. I think all the sequel movies made money.
Yes. The budget for this was $416 million. It made $1.077 billion.
If you go with the accounting, blah, 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 it made about $200 million, which is almost enough to pay for the Acolyte.
Oh, God.
I slightly disagree about Lando. I mean, I understand, like, again, it's like the Falcon's Dish. It's like the lightsaber. It's a thing you know from the old movies. And of course, he's got to wear the costume from the Han Solo movie, so that we connect them. But I like the idea of having Lando in it, but I don't think he really did much. Like he's like, look at me, I'm Lando. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Hey, Chewie, you're my friend. Okay. There was one thing. Okay. There was one interesting thing. This is when I mentioned earlier my Mandela effect moment.
Yes.
Because I guess I read about this at the end when he's with the girl with I can't remember her name. She didn't get an action figure, so I can't remember her name. The former Stormtrooper. Well, she got a Black Series, but I don't care about the six-inch film figures. Remember they had that moment together, and a lot of people thought it was really weird? Lando, it's either cut or it wasn't filmed. It's in the books. Lando's daughter was kidnapped by the First Order.
Yeah.
And it's sort of implied – because if you notice, he's really sad.
Yeah.
And because he's kind of hoping to – and it's kind of implied that maybe she's his long-lost daughter.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say anything about that. And I'm like, I could have sworn that was a thing. And then I had to go back and find that. But
yeah, he doesn't say anything about it, unfortunately.
So everyone's like, oh, he's hitting on this young girl. That's weird.
No, he's not. I knew he wasn't hitting on her. It was more of a, oh my God. If people are thinking that, I mean.
People said that at the time.
Well, here's hoping they've come to their senses by now, because that's, I did not know. Well,
first of all, we all know he's into droids. We saw Solo. that biting teeth of the gears.
Yep. Oh, Lando.
Oh, Lord. Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lando.
God, don't, dude. Don't. It's not. But no, I enjoyed this more than I thought I was going to. And I went into it with essentially basically nothing. I mean, yeah, there was the last movie, obviously, but compared to everything else, it's like, oh. Yeah, I wish we had had just a little bit more with that, or that it would lead somewhere.
That's the thing. It's like, oh no, I killed Chewie, and then literally the next scene, oh, he's fine. Yeah.
He's fine.
You know, yeah. And there was another one just like the like that where it's like, oh no, this, and he's fine. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's fixed. You know. Oh, hey, there's a spy in the First Order. Oh, it's Hux. Oh, he's dead. Like the whole film is like, oh, here's this thing, and no, but it's done, and it's done, and it's gone. Like the whole film is like that. Like, that was one of my big complaints about Beetlejuice, was that they resolved everything so fast. Because there's just so much crap crammed into this movie that it never has time to really deal with anything. It's all about, we got to get her to Exegol, and we got to have Palpatine, and blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah. So, we got, oh, okay. I guess.
How about Rose? They really did, you know, like, at least they let her be in the film.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and she actually had a little bit more than I thought she did, which is more than nothing. Like, so, I mean, they had to acknowledge her, and they, like, just, and then, hey, how about, I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who was Mary Adak from Lord of the Rings. Well, he had a big part, didn't he?
Yeah, not really.
Oh, I was being facetious. But, I mean, you know, to be fair, like, if I was,
yeah.
I've always said, if I had the kind of pull to get, like, even, like, a bit part in a Star Wars movie, I'd do it. You know who else was in that movie? Did you catch John Williams?
No, and I was looking for him.
He was the bartender when they got 3PO's brain wired, which is another thing.
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing was stupid. It's like, I can translate the Sith, but I'm not allowed to speak it. So, okay, so we're going to wipe your brain. And then there's that moment, and it's in the trailers, and it's like, it actually got to me in the trailers where I'm looking at my friends for the last time. And they wipe his brain. It's like, okay, well, there are consequences. That's kind of, oh, R2 fixed him. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't let anything happen that has any kind of consequences or weight or emotional heft. We've got to feel good about things. Oh, looky, there's the kiss between two women that's in that clip that's really quick, and it'll make the modern audience happy, and it's easily to cut out for the Chinese audiences. So we're pandering, but safely, so that we can get it sold in China. Like, it's the worst of all possible worlds.
Yeah. I was going to bring this up at the beginning of the show, but I forgot until now because I'm now reminded as I'm looking through the cast list. I'm on Instagram. I post sometimes. I've been on Instagram for the last 5 years or so. And I usually watch a lot of reels or stories or whatever the video version stuff of YouTube clips is on Instagram. And usually because of the way the algorithm is and how my interests are, it's like, oh, this Star Wars thing or this Star Wars thing or whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. So I see a clip of Ewan McGregor talking about playing Obi-Wan again for the Obi-Wan series. He's like, yeah, back when they first hired me back in 99 or 98 or whenever they did the stuff for the original or the prequel trilogy and all that, whatever else. Yeah, my uncle was blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait,
I was what? Wedge, yeah.
Your uncle was who?
I've mentioned that on the show.
Did you?
Yes. Oh, God, Dennis Lawson.
Yeah, Dennis Lawson. I was like, holy crap. I guess my brain isn't as good as it used to be, folks. But yeah, I mean, overall, the cast is pretty well done. Like, I don't know if it's because of the, oh, okay. Well, we only saw her eyes. That's why I didn't really recognize her. I guess I didn't put the voice with the thing. Zori Is Kerry Russell.
Yeah, I knew that.
Of course it's Kerry Russell. This is a J.J. Abrams film.
Yeah, well, I mean, Snap Wexley is I can't remember the actor's name, but he was in Lost and he was in Heroes.
Nice, okay. Yeah, Greg Grunberg, he was in Alias, yeah. I recognized him immediately because he's got one of those faces and one of those voices that I just recognize immediately. Other notes that I've taken, let's see here. What do we got here? 3PO, the one time we need you to talk, you can't.
Technically the second time because he helped with the Ewoks.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Literally saved the galaxy. Mm-hmm. Well, saved the galaxy to be run by SNL alumni. And then they were all killed. So, I mean, it really was for nothing. Everything he did was for nothing.
Yeah. And then they go back to him. You know the odds better than any of us. Do we have a choice? Like,
that was a good line. That one I liked.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure. I've said worse things on this podcast, so this isn't even at the 99 percentile of worst things I've said. Well, it's nice to know the First Order isn't sexist. Female stormtroopers at the end with the stormtroopers running around.
I was thinking that too. I was shot. Like, oh, good. Yeah. We finally get to watch women get shot in the chest and die. Yay!
No, progress. That's not a good. But again, like, it's just, I don't know. It all goes back to the whole thing of where are we in the whole, are they clones?
No, they're First Order absolutely 100% are kidnapped children.
Right. That's, yeah.
They established that in the first film.
Yeah.
And they reinforced it this time with Jaina? Jaina?
Yeah, Jaina.
And her people. Like, that was a plot point that was never developed.
Yeah, it's established but not developed. That's probably why I forgot about it. But yeah, and then the whole, you know, ending, I was just kind of like sitting back while, like, my notes stop at yay 3PO memory restored, because the rest of it I was just kind of enjoying. And when Lando shows up again, and this film, to me, finally what they've done here in the sequel trilogy is they finally embraced all the new characters, and unfortunately Carrie had passed away a couple of years 3 years before this and all that, so they just have to use archival footage for her. But like, Luke is a Force ghost.
Goes on.
So, yeah.
The least likely person in the galaxy to be a Force ghost. But, I mean, we can't use Carrie, so.
Yeah. Well, but I like that, though. Mm. I like that his dad came to him. And it's because, you know, he needed that closure. But it's also for a moment that I didn't think we'd ever get again.
Seeing Harrison Ford play Han?
Well, no. Huh. I mean, if he wants to, he wants to. If he doesn't, he doesn't. If they pay him enough. I know he doesn't. But that moment of they basically replicate sort of, kind of, a little bit, Empire. Dad, I know. Like, too long. He doesn't say I love you.
They redo the scene from Force Awakens, but it has a happier ending.
Oh, no. Is it a happier ending? I don't know.
Sure, he dies. They finally get out of that movie. They're all reunited in the Force, because that's how the Force works now.
Yeah, but I'll probably have to get schooled on this, but Force Ghost is for those who possess the Force.
Was a special thing that Qui-Gon invented and had to spend years teaching Obi-Wan.
Yes.
But everyone can do it now. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But I never, when I saw this, and I'm like, oh, he's just having a memory, you know, he's just
conjuring up his dad. Yeah, this time around, it did feel more like it was a memory rather than.
Yeah, it was.
I will give you that. Because the first time I saw it, I think most people thought it was a Force ghost. But, like, watching it this time, it clearly, like, visually, it looks different than a Force ghost, because he's not translucent, he's not blue and glowing. Yeah.
Exactly.
It is, and they do. There's dialogue that establishes that he's just a memory.
Yeah.
So I will grant you that. I'm still, my brain still somewhat operates on the old.
Yep.
Come on, Solo's a Force ghost. Mm-hmm. But it really was more like his memory.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I think the scene was fine. I you know, they had to do it that way because they couldn't get Carrie.
Yeah. But I like that though, because that gives more to Ben's arc. because he, you know, his mom saved him before she passed. And then even though he killed his dad, we didn't really see. We didn't get to see in the other movies too much because of everything else that happened in the movies and all the way the story was written and whatever else. But, like, that's why I like that scene, is we finally get the peaceful, like, it's okay, son, it's this, it's that, please just be the good son that I raised you to be or didn't raise you to be, however the hell you want to, I don't know. I just like the moment. I thought it was everybody, all of the classic cast members get good moments in this movie. And that's all that's my point. That's all they need is good moments. Focus on the new cast, focus on the new characters. And that's what this movie did tenfold.
Well, to be fair, the characters were either dead or the actors were dead. So, I mean, they didn't really have a lot of choice.
True, but at least it was not just written to have, like again, with Lando, he only shows up in certain parts. He's not there throughout the whole thing.
Buddy, he's Lando. I mean, he didn't even have a big part in Return of the Jedi when he was young and relevant. I mean, he's not a... I get that everybody loves Billy Dee Williams, but it's like, I don't consider him a major character in the Star Wars universe. He's an important secondary character, but he's not like one of he's not the big three.
No, he's not the big three, but it's okay if he's part of the big six or something, like, you know.
Well, the big six is Chewbacca, 3PO, and R2-D2. He's above Admiral Akbar, but he's below 3PO.
That's fine. At least he's there.
But I mean, why is he there? He's there because he's a person that you know from the original films, and J.J. Abrams can't let go of things.
I got a bad feeling about this. Ochi's ship is out past Lurch Canyon. Go.
Thank you, General.
You too, Chewie.
Steve Williams and how he ruined the whole movie.
Wow.
Kidding.
Yeah.
No, Dave. Billy Dee Williams did not ruin the whole movie. So the Falcon, we've got Rey and Chewie and Finn, let's just say. So basically, Rey is Han, Chewie is Chewie, and Finn is supposed to be Luke. Because Finn is always the gunner. Because that's the third guy and everything else.
Well, I think one of the things they did that was right, and I was both right and problematic, is that nobody really mapped perfectly onto the original cast. Now, the thing is, that was an invitation for them to take those characters and develop them, which they didn't do.
Right.
You know, but it was like nobody was perfect. Like Poe was kind of like Han, but he was a leader like Leia.
Yeah.
You know, Rey was kind of like Luke, but, you know, kind of like Leia. Finn was kind of like Luke, but kind of like Han, but kind of like, you know, like it's
an amalgam of all of it.
Yeah. Well, they were new characters. And I think the sad thing is fandom, you know, and you have kind of, you know, you've expressed this before when we talked about Andor. You were like, I don't like to watch things where I don't have a pre-established notion and familiarity with the characters. And I think that's somewhat common. You know, I mean, that's why they make remakes and reboots and sequels. Because they want familiarity rather than to introduce you to a bunch of new characters. But they kind of had to because everybody was old and expensive and dying off anyway. So,
right.
Also, like, you know, if it had hit really big, I mean, the weird thing is, like, I'm about to say if it hit really big, but, like, they made $1 billion a movie. Force Awakens almost made two. But, like, you know, you could have kept going. You know, you could have had their adventures.
Yeah.
But that would mean breaking away from Palpatine and the Stormtroopers and the Empire and having their – and that's always been – Star Wars is like weird Achilles heel, as it's never been really good at breaking away from the original trilogy. Now, they've done arcs with – you know, like there are like three or four arcs that they always did in the Expanded Universe. There was the Alien Invasion arc. Like they've done like three or four versions of that. There's the – oh, no, the Empire's Back arc, which is how Thrawn – and blah blah blah, and then there's like the other Sith, and it's like just they've never really been good at forging a truly unique new version of Star Wars in the Star Wars universe, which is weird because more so than a lot of other, you know, fantasy sci-fi universes, like there's so much room for it. Like, like Lord of the Rings specifically takes place during a specific time in the world where the cool fantasy stuff is ending. There is a whole sense of melancholy, of loss. The elves are leaving Middle Earth. Everything is changing and becoming the boring, horrible, mundane world that we're stuck in today. You know, and Star Trek is kind of cool, but it's also, the very format of the thing is, but Star Wars is like, what's going on over there? Who are those guys? Yeah. What's, you know, what else is going to attack, you know? But it's always like a Death Star clone, which we had in this film, or an alien invasion, or the Empire's back, and have a Death Star clone. You know, it's just, they've never really moved. You know, J.J. Abrams is more of a symptom than a unique snowflake in terms of not being able to let go of the past.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because, again, I will always say he's good at casting and he's good at directing. And if you gave him a good script, if someone who really knew and understood Star Wars, but was also willing to take some risks, and Abrams was willing to take some risks, I think we could have had fire. Yeah. But what we had was good-looking mediocrity, and because they were doing backflips to fix the stuff that Rian Johnson, Snoke was never real. I made him. He was my puppet. Look at this vat full of Snokes.
Ew. Yeah, that was
placed in your head all along, even though they never used me before, which is stupid. They should have just had Palpatine. I don't know if you know about the comics, but the very first, so there have been like three waves of Star Wars expanded universe. There was the pre-expanded universe stuff, you know, from the first movie to about 90 something, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Then there was the expanded universe, which was the Lucasfilm that started with Dark Empire, and that started with Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn books. And then there's the Disney era. But, like, Dark Empire, like, brings back Palpatine immediately. Like, he has, like, a dark side gimmick that he can come back. The Secret of Azkaboda.
Yeah.
And, like, you could have used that. Like, you stole Thrawn. You stole all this other stuff that was cool.
Yeah.
You could have easily, like, nobody would have been mad that you lifted these things. Because it's part of the canon.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you've got, what is it here?
But instead, you spend the time and energy to establish Snoke as the big villain, even though he's got a stupid name. And Rian Johnson just arbitrarily killed him off in the next episode. So now he's a nobody. He's a nothing. He's a puppet. He's a waste of time. A waste of time. And that's my thing. It's like, so much of this movie is all about a huge waste of time.
Well, like you said earlier, it starts and stops. It's little mini arcs. It's basically like follow this character, follow that character, follow that character, follow that character. At some point, they're all going to meet up in the middle, supposedly, and then do whatever they're going to do.
But also, where are we at the end? We're right back where we started. The evil empire, I mean First Order, I mean Final Order, has been destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, now my only question as the movie ended was, are they gonna run the new Republic with more SNL alumni, or are they gonna like learn from their mistakes and maybe go with Mad TV alumni running the Galactic? You know, because it's just like it is weird that there has been, since those movies came out, there's been almost like this concentrated effort by Lucasfilm to make the New Republic look like a bunch of freaking idiots, so we don't feel bad they got vaporized in the first movie.
Yeah,
but it's like we have completely reset. It is literally the end of Return of the Jedi. The bad empire has been destroyed. The good guys will reclaim the galaxy and create a new democratic government, republic government. And there is one lone Jedi who will create the next generation. And so episode 10 should be, you know, where's Rey? We have to find Rey, you know. BB-8's been in a space coma for 10 years since Rey disappeared, and we have to find her. And then the end of the movie will be they'll find Rey, and then they cut to the next movie. Like just endless repetition.
Yeah.
It goes nowhere. It amounts to nothing. We learn nothing about these characters. These characters are ciphers. You know, and again, I am kind of – I'm really annoyed that, like, John Boyega got wasted, because, as I said, I'm a huge fan of Attack of the Block. And that dude has talent. Like, he's an incredibly gifted actor. and they just did nothing with him. I mean, Oscar Isaacs is a very good actor. They did more with him than they did with Poe in the later films, because he has the whole thing about like at the very end he's like, oh, I've got to be leader now that Leia's gone. Oh, it's very difficult. It's like, okay, this was never your arc, but okay. I mean, there was a little bit of that hinted at in Last Jedi, but still. I mean, you know that he was like, his character got killed off in the first film, and they were like, people like this Oscar Isaacs guy, let's bring him back.
Let's bring him back, I think I would, like, I think for me personally, I'm good with where Rey is right now. Like, I don't need to see any more of her character or any more story arcs with her specifically.
But my friend, she's a woman. And she has brown hair and an English accent. Just like Kira from the Solo movies. Just like Jen Erso from Rogue One. Just like the girl from Indiana Jones 5. Just like the little girl from Willow. It's almost like somebody's putting in her, even though she doesn't have an English accent, there is this weird constant repetition of young woman with brown hair and an English accent. And a little bit sassy. Like Kathleen Kennedy's, you know, original character.
Yeah. Maybe she just wants to be in the movies herself.
She wants to leave her stink on the movies.
Yeah. But you know what? I didn't feel like, I agree that there's so much going on in this movie, and there's so many starts and stops, and like I said a second ago, character following versus plot following along at a decent pace of this happens, this is why this happens, so this is why we have to then go this way. Like, overall, I didn't dislike this film. I'm not going to give it a 5 or a 4 or anything, because I recognize the certain issues that are with it. But at the same time, at the end of it all, like you said, Poe kind of gets wasted. Finn overall in the entire sequel trilogy kind of gets wasted. Like, he has a couple of really awesome moments in this movie. I would rather see a Poe, BB-8, and Finn, you know, go traversing the galaxy in the Millennium Falcon or something, Mandalorian style, or maybe something like that. But, like, the whole Rey needs to find her destiny, Rey needs to find her parents, Rey this, Rey that, okay, her story for now is done. And I know that there is a potential 10th film that is supposed to be centered around her, that is supposed to be, she's supposed to attempt to rebuild the Jedi Order.
Maybe. They don't have a script.
They still don't have a script. No. And honestly, I'm perfectly fine with that. Give us Andor season 2. Whatever Ahsoka season 2 is going to be. Fine, give us that. I've said this before, and it's not just about Star Wars. It's about any franchise. Yes, we want as much as we can get of it. But sometimes if it doesn't go away, we don't know how to miss it, because it's always here. And not a lot of the times, it's always all good. I recognize the issues that are in this film. At the same time, at the end of the day, I had more enjoyment out of this film than I did the other two.
Okay, well then, I mean, that's good. My problem is I keep coming back to, like, there's the old sarcastic, it was probably from Friends or, you know, one of those kind of shows where it's like, oh, I really liked the movie when it was Return of the Jedi. Because that's what it is. It's Return of the Jedi, like, only more confused and messy and with less memorable characters. And we end up in the exact same spot we started, and nothing is different.
Yeah, nothing is
different. Except the faces.
Yeah, except the faces. Nothing changes. Nothing pushes the story forward, kind of thing.
And it ends with Rey stealing the Skywalker name for herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, so she's got to have some sort of name, because we don't know what her. That's true.
I didn't write that.
I know. Not say. I understand. What was I going to say about this one? So, it took them nearly 50 years. Nearly 50 years for Chewbacca to get his fucking medal.
No. Incorrect. First of all, that was the stupidest part of the whole film. Why does Leia have a medal? Is he got Leia's medal? Why does she get a medal? What's the medal that Leia's carrying around? Because she's carrying it around before she dies.
Yeah.
Secondly, if you read the novelization, and I will happily take a picture of it, at the very end, it says Chewie got a medal too, but few princesses are that tall. Literal line. And three, if that's not good enough for you, he got it at an MTV Movie Awards.
That's right, he did.
The motherfucker has like 5 medals. He's like, you know, he's like Mark Spitz. What? He's like, I got so many medals, but everyone keeps giving them to me because they think I got screwed.
Right.
Enough with the medals. I need food. I need to feed my child. My horrible, stupid child.
But again, for someone who is just going into this knowing the films only, and I'm not talking about me. Like, yeah, I know some of the, I don't know everything that you know, obviously, but I know some of the extended universe stuff. But like someone that's just Joe Friday has only seen, and it was a nice little scene.
It was more pandering.
It was more fan service than pandering.
Well, I mean, that's what pandering is. Is pandering fans.
Okay.
It's like, what did that have to do with anything relevant for the last 40 years?
Well, because
why did Leia have that medal? I mean, whose medal is that? What? Why is she carrying it around? I don't know. So that Chewie can be given it after she dies. like the guys who do South Park, Stone and Parker, they have this theory of writing, which is a good story is written by saying this happens and then or therefore.
Yeah.
But like, or wait, therefore or but this happens. Therefore, this happens. A bad writing is like this happens and then this happens and then this happens and then this happens. And that's what this movie is. Leia's carrying a medal for some reason. Therefore, and so that Chewbacca can be handed it so that the fans can get Chewie getting his medal. I mean, dude. It's just cheap. The Falcon has the circular thing back. They said it looks like the Falcon that fans love. By the way, another weird continuity thing is the X-Wing. He's supposed to be missing one of its X-Foils, because that's the one used for a door on his house.
Yep. And it's not missing. But
it's got all four of them.
It's got all four. Yeah. When Luke raises it up out of the thing.
God forbid we even slightly change the silhouette of the famous iconic X-Wing. That, of course, Rey flies around in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course she does, because she's our special girl. It's just, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be attacking you. I get it. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad it was not an unpleasant experience for you. I mean, it wasn't unpleasant for me. It was just this whole thing has been frustrating.
So
because of all the talent that could have been applied, they could have done something, but didn't, but chose the dumb, safe, cheap route every time.
So I've just, and I'm probably late on this realization, but essentially, and we've known this for years now at this point, Force Awakens, everyone says, oh, it's Star Wars, but X number of years, it's supposed to be an allegory to how Star Wars was when it initially came out, the whole plot, the this, the that, the whatever. You could technically say, even though I'm not saying this, I want to make that clear before Dave jumps down my throat, technically Last Jedi could be considered an Empire allegory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a different...
Because they split... The heroes split up.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously this is... And that's, again, my realization of, like, I didn't realize... When she was doing all that stuff, when they were on Endor, it didn't even occur to me.
It wasn't Endor. It was another planet.
Okay, it was
in the
a
Endor
moon.
System.
Oh, okay, but it was a moon of Endor. It's a this of Endor. It's a whatever. They say Endor like 5 times.
It was the Endor system, but I'm just saying this. That's why there were no Ewoks.
No, there were.
They were just Warthog. What? Well, they went to the moon of Endor. In the final shots.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
We saw Wicket in the sun.
Right. But my point is, like, I didn't realize she was going to find the other thing in the excavation of the wreckage of the second Death Star.
Okay. The weird thing is, that's actually an element that they've been playing around with since they were coming up with Force Awakens. Like, there's fan art from the Fan Awakens or Force Awakens, right, or whatever it was going to be called. Yeah. Where she's like, it's actually underwater and she's swimming into the throne room.
Right.
The thing is, what, I mean, I guess Kylo Ren got his moment with his dad, but what came of that? They smashed the Wayfinders are so important, yet everybody finds a way to Exegol anyway, because they got that little robot that was completely useless through the whole film, except that he's got the coordinates in his head.
Yeah.
And she finds it, and everybody, and then Kylo Ren, I guess, remembers the coordinates and how to fly through it. Like, it's just, and they're like, why aren't they selling at Disney World? Because they're stupid, and they literally just crushed it, and it did. Like, the scene where she walks into that trophy room or whatever, and they're kind of mirrors. I mean, that for a moment I was like, that kind of plugs into what happened in Last Jedi, and that's kind of cool. And then she fights her mirror self for 2 nanoseconds,
yeah,
and that's over. And then nothing comes of it. That's my point. Nothing comes of anything. Like, and I don't want to feel like my time is being wasted.
And yeah, I don't know, man. I just had fun with it. I didn't feel like literally what.
Well, okay, you're watching it for the first time. I'm watching it for the second time. To be fair.
Okay.
To be fair.
Yeah, maybe that's the issue. Maybe I haven't ingrained it into my head enough to really realize. Oh God, this movie sucks.
I honestly don't know how you, like, you know. It's not that I, like, approach a huge amount of thought to every movie I watch or demand, you know, that everything have meaning and move me and blah, blah, blah. It's not that I'm like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is my thing, my jam, my franchise that raised me as a child.
Yeah.
I had the toys. I was very possessive of Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars was a thing that didn't end when the movie ended. It continued in my garage, in my bedroom, in my basement. Star Wars was a living thing for me. So, yeah, I am very possessive. And you know, suddenly Disney, who have the money and the power to do – they had the ability to do anything. And what they did was, well, there's a giant – it's a bigger Death Star that blows up multiple planets at once. And the scrappy little rebellion – I mean resistance have to stop them with their fighters. And then the heroes split up. And the Jedi person goes to a cranky old trainer and gets trained in the ways of the Force. We'll twist that around a little bit. Ooh, twist. And then everybody comes together for the big finale where they got to stop the planet killer, except this time it's going to be multiple planet killers with their super fleet that they built with magic?
Yeah.
Where'd that fleet – like, I kept thinking there's a Red Letter Media blanket review of Star Trek Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's complaining about the Scimitar, the Riemann ship. He's like, how did they build that with nobody knowing? I mean, you need stuff to build ships. Like, chairs. I just kept the whole time I'm like, chairs. Where'd they get them chairs for? You know, some like
musical chairs. That's right.
They just magically summoned a fleet up out of the rocks. And they do have lines of dialogue. Oh, they were working on it for a long time, apparently. And now they got little planet-killing guns. And it's like, it's just... Just, and then they – oh, no, they blew up that one planet, that planet that we were on for 5 seconds that we didn't really care about. To be fair, they killed John Williams, which is sad. But, you know, Kerry Russell and the cute little weird puppet monster got off. So, boo-hoo. I mean, like, we'll punish that resistance by blowing up that one random planet they were on for 5 minutes. That'll learn them.
Yeah, like, why is it Kijimi or whatever? Why isn't it –
because it was in the movie. Because it's a movie – you know why? Because nobody gives a shit about Jakku, and nobody knows what planet Poe came from.
Right, but you could go back to Tatooine, you could go back to Hoth,
Why would you? What connection do those planets have to anybody? Literally, the only planet in the series, or in this particular movie, that has any connection to any character is the fact that they were on Jakku, or on whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Skidamarine. Like, but seriously, like, we'll punish them by blowing up their home planet, which is what? I don't know. We never established. I believe in the first film, they blew up Alderaan, which is where Princess Leia was from.
Right.
Because she had a connection to it, and we learned that.
Yeah.
Like, they blew up that planet because they were on it for 5 seconds. It's fresh in the audience's mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have. I mean, were they going to blow up the salt planet? I just can't remember the name of now from... You know, the one from the end of Last Jedi.
Yes, yes.
Because nobody lives on that. Nobody cares. Blowing up Jakku. Very few people live on it. Nobody cares. We'll blow up Tatooine. Why? Like, nobody. Yeah. Who's connected? Like, we don't even know enough about the characters to care if their homeworlds get. Like, because they would have to go, okay, we know this Poe Dameron guy is a big deal in the Resistance, and he's from Corellia, so we'll blow up Corellia. Those characters are so ill-defined that we don't even know that. Mm-hmm. Luke was from Tatooine. Han was from Corellia. Leia was from Alderaan. Like, we know this shit.
Yeah.
Like, our Coruscant, because Coruscant still exists. Like, yeah. They blew up the Hoth system because there's a whole bunch of, like, dancing around about, oh, well, the New Republic and their vast stupidity decided that Coruscant was getting all the love and attention, so they moved their capital to the Hazi system, which is another planet that looks exactly like Coruscant, and other planets that you can see from, like, multiple systems away when they get blown up, because J.J. Abrams doesn't understand space.
Yeah.
Even though he's done Star Trek and Star Wars movies, he has a very dim grasp of space.
Yes, he does.
It's just like, I really want to stop talking because I don't want to, like, crush your...
You're not. It's okay. Well, here's an interesting thing. I did not...
Questioning.
Yeah. So other than General Hux and the other guy, who's the other guy?
He's some...
Yeah, Pride. Yeah. Hux, Hux and Pride. Outside of...
That's Kitty Pride, and that's how I made that connection in my head. I like the X-Men.
X-Men, that's right. So outside of General Hux and General Pride, every other council member that is at that table when they're doing the whole, hey, guess what? We need to have a, you know, force choke moment or whatever because this is blah, blah, blah. So all of those people that are around the table that are discussing what's going on, whatever else, I didn't know a single one of them. Wasn't like they had a Tarkin, because Hux and Pride are kind of they're not an amalgam, but they're similar to General Tarkin, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm on Wikipedia, and I'm looking through the list of the characters, and I'm like, Allison Rose as Lieutenant Draper. I'm like, wait, who the fuck was she?
They had a real Draper.
Yeah.
They would have been happy to be in the movie. Even a bad movie.
Well, my first thought was, is this one of your relatives? Like, you have a relative? Well,
this is the character's name.
Yeah, no, I know. It's the character's name. I understand that. But
I'm also not related to Don Draper from Mad Men, even though I do actually have an uncle named Donald. But no, I didn't know there was a character named Draper. Like,
I didn't. That's why I love Wikipedia over Wikipedia for Star Wars stuff, because I didn't know that either.
And the pathetic thing is, they could have told me that, and I would have given a much kinder review back in the day. I am cheap and I can be had.
He's cheap and he can be
bought. I don't remember there being a woman at the table. I remember there was a female Star Destroyer captain. I think she's the one that blows up the planet.
Yeah, there was.
And I was wondering if that was the same girl from Mandalorian. Remember what's his name's? Gideon's sort of little who infiltrates, you know, who was somehow able to get past, you know, the I can't remember the guy from Saturday Night Live. Get past
So according to Wikipedia,
okay, how did I miss her in that field of darkness?
No, I know.
Send me a picture, and it's just like a black screen with like a pale face in the center.
Yeah. Well, that's why again,
but old Lieutenant Draper. I can see why they made action figures of her.
Well, she's an old politician, don't you know?
No, I don't know.
That's why, exactly. Well, that's why when I'm looking through this list, I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking she was like part of the Resistance or something, or part of the younger Sith fleet or something. No, she's the one of the old ladies that's sitting, or maybe the only old lady sitting at the table with all the boys arguing over how bad the first, fifth, flatlining order is whatever. Whatever.
It's the final orders. But it's the last one the galaxy will ever know.
It's the final countdown. Oh, God. Anything else on Rise of Skywalker, sir? Anything else we missed? Anything?
I don't think so. Like I said, my thing was more just a tremendous disappointment.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Andor season two.
Yeah. Being
kind of my last Star Wars thing that I really watch. I kind of made a decision this year that it's long past due to say goodbye. Like, and so this podcast,
mm-hmm.
Andor season two, and on the toy front, Hasbro Pulse is doing the Cantina, the big playset.
Yeah.
But it's got the Tanaka sisters, which are characters that they said they would never, ever do. Like, mm-hmm. those characters fans have wanted for years, and Hasbro mm-hmm. has always said, no, we're never going to do them. And now, I think in order to get that thing to pass, they said, we'll give you these figures you've always desperately wanted if you buy our $400 Cantina set.
Yeah.
So for me, like, getting figures I thought I would never get is a pretty good note to go out on.
Yep.
So I'm wrapping it up. Like, it's Andor season two. It's like, I'm excited. I really hope that Kathleen Kennedy paid no attention to it and ignored it like the first one.
Yeah, let's hope.
Then all of a sudden there'll be this girl with brown hair and a British accent. Like, no!
I mean, at least give her an Irish accent and blonde hair. I mean, come on.
Oh, I mean, Mon Mothma has an Irish accent.
Yeah. So he says all that, folks, and I'm going to tell you right now, we have at least three more episodes here.
Well, those are different. No, we got four. Because we've got the soundtracks and we've got the...
Oh, well, we've already... As of this recording, we haven't done that yet, but we will be. But when this...
I'm just saying, I just go on the list that you
said. Yeah. I know. I understand. But yeah, folks, we've got going forward in time, because you all would have already heard the stuff that we haven't even produced yet. We've got a couple of interesting episodes coming up. We've got an interview coming up, and then we've got the one right before that where we actually discuss the books of the person that we're going to be interviewing, which I will have to talk to Dave about off air. And then at some point before Christmas here in 2024, I don't know how. I hope there's the one time I do not do subtitles. I do not read my television. I do not want to read my screen. I want to be able to understand and hear what I'm consuming for media. But if I have to use subtitles for that holiday special, we are doing the Star Wars holiday special. Subtitles. Okay. Well,
oh my God. You don't know, do you?
No, apparently not.
There are no subtitles. Like, they just have like 40 minutes of Wookiees talking in Wookiee speak. You don't know that?
I mean, they haven't. Nobody's translated it. Oh my god!
But I mean, they made it up. It's not. It's.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody at Lucas has gone. Okay, no. So we live in a current world.
Lucas doesn't acknowledge that it exists. You realize
true,
that?
That's very true. But like, we live in a current world where I follow a page on Facebook called Dawn of the Discs. And this page on Facebook gives news items about media releases, whether it's Blu-ray, whether it's 4K, whether it's whatever. And it's like, hey, new transfer, new this, new that, 4K for this release, 4K for that release, whatever, whatever, whatever. You mean to tell me in a 4K world, we can't go back and have somebody...
Oh, Princess. No. Yeah, How are you even going to watch this thing? Are you expecting a 4K release of the
No. special? No, what I'm expecting is at least subtitles. Like, that's my point. How is nobody at Lucas, besides the fact they don't care about it?
You keep saying at Lucas.
Disney, fine, whatever.
No, you keep saying, like, my friend is like, you know, how come nobody, dude, how come nobody at Ford Theater was like, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? dude.
Bang.
Like, it is persona non grata. Like there, it's, you understand there is no official release of the holiday special anywhere.
What?
You understand that, right?
That can't be possible.
Oh, my sweet summer child.
That can't be possible.
My poor, beautiful Michael.
No. No, you're lying to me.
You can watch it for free on YouTube.
Okay,
which I assume is how you're going to have to do it, but.
Probably.
Because I've bought it three times on DVD and it's never been a working copy. You
really?
Yeah. There are copies, my boy. There are blurry, horrible. The VCRs existed back in 1978, and some other trucker got a copy of it, and it's been going around for 40 years.
Okay, so question.
Sometimes you can get the actual, there's one Star Wars story commercial on it. Sometimes if you get a good copy, it's got that on it. Mm-hmm. You don't know any of this?
No. Because I avoided the holiday special like the plague that it is, apparently. So it's question, do we want to forego that and just...
No! Oh, God, no! Okay. Well, especially now that you were like, I don't want to... I thought there'd be subtitles. I don't like subtitles, but I'll endure them. I'm like, oh.
Now he's starting to laugh like Yoda in Revenge of the Jedi. God.
Yeah, miss you, young Blanchard, I did.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wait till you get to Harvey Korman in three roles. Three separate roles.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it is so bad.
Holiday special and the... We're doing them both.
Doing both of what? And the Acolyte? It's going to be like... Because I think you've watched that, right?
I've seen the... No, we're never doing that.
Oh, I thought it was like... I thought you'd watch and you're like, okay, we're doing the Acolyte. You got to watch.
No. I would never. No, trust me.
I have to suffer, you suffer.
No. So
what we're going to do... Well, okay. I'm putting this out here. We can't actually do it, but what I want to do is like... Remember those old commercials for Tootsie Pops with the owl? How many does it take to get to the center?
Yep.
I want you... To note the time, because you know that in the middle of it, there's a Boba Fett cartoon, which is actually kind of decent.
Yeah.
Note the time when you're like, okay, I just want to skip to the Boba Fett cartoon and call it a day. How far can you go before you're like, because every time I watch it now, that's basically what I do is I skip to the Boba Fett cartoon.
Oh, my God.
How long can you wait to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?
That's right. The world may never know. The
world may never know.
They will know this December. But what I was going to say was, because you're absolutely right, not that I didn't think you weren't right, but I just searched the holiday Star Wars holiday special on Disney Plus. The only thing that comes up is the Lego holiday special for Star Wars on Disney Plus. So that episode is now the bad holiday special, the really bad one, and then the Lego one.
Yeah. Well, then there's the Guardians of the Galaxy one.
Yeah,
but dude. The Lucas quote, the when Red Letter Media, oh God, it's my favorite thing when they did the best of the worst for the holiday special, the Christmas episode.
Right.
They did two episodes. The first episode, which is an hour long, they do everything but talk about the holiday special. They hate it so much. And then the second episode is they actually talk about the holiday special. But on every bootleg DVD copy they have is the Lucas quote, "If I had time and a hammer, I would track down and smash every bootleg copy of that."
Well, you know.
I can't believe you thought there was an official release of the holiday special.
This is the official release almost every other thing.
But, buddy, are you in the real estate market? Because I happen to have a bridge in Brooklyn that is just I think you would love it. You'll get a lot out of it. You want to buy my bridge?
So I think your bridge...
So, dude, this Nigerian prince sent me an email, and mm-hmm. How did you not like?
I don't,
that I is don't, basic nerd stuff, dude.
Well, dude, I apparently haven't been a basic nerd in years because my brain just constantly fails me. All right, ratings on this thing, I am going to give it a, and this is just based on how our rating system, our geek meter at the GCR, and how the description of it reads. 3.5, good. It's a mixed bag, but the good stuff outweighs the bad. That one sentence for me is how I feel about this film. The fact that I've already said in this episode, I enjoyed this one more than the other two. That's the quote-unquote lowest grade I can give this. 3.5 out of 5.
It's a mess. Like, internally, nothing goes anywhere. In the larger sense of the trilogy, all we do is end up back where we started. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of talent. It's a waste of money. I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay, like, so you're at a 2. So bad, missed potential, poor execution, like you're saying, lack of...
Missed potential is the
under. The yeah. Okay. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the Geekcast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast to your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009 as we close out the sequel trilogy for Star Wars. Return of the Jedi saves it all.
Hmm?
Return of the Jedi saves it all.
I think you overshot a little bit, but that's fine.
Well, okay, but still.
Empire. Well, I don't think it saves it, but Empire is the one that makes the trilogy. Like that, because I mean I've heard there are other films, but you know it's a good trilogy.
Yep. So, folks, coming up, like I mentioned earlier, we've got the next episode. We're going to be Dave and I are going to read, and then we are going to discuss Craig Miller's Star Wars memories, and then he's got a second book called More Movie Memories. Craig Miller was there during Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back and all of that. And we're going to be going through his book and reading his history with the franchise and all that. And the episode after that, we're going to interview him. And then we will do the holiday special along with the Lego holiday special, because you got to have the horrible pumpkin pie.
You have to take that, because I was like, ha ha. And then you're like, oh, you're going to watch the Lego holiday special. I'm like, you bastard.
What?
Come on.
It'd be any worse than the actual holiday special.
No, and that's what makes it kind of like, again, like I would rather endure agonizing pain than have my time wasted. And it's also going to be another Ray-centric nonsense. Ray. Other character. Ray. But I am kind of looking forward to talking to this Miller guy. He was the editor of Bantha Tracks, which was the fan magazine back in the day. I've got a box of them downstairs somewhere.
Oh, well, when we get to that point, you'll have to take a couple of pictures of your, if you can find them.
If I can find them.
In your Star Wars.
My Star Wars Ephremia box. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, well. You've got some time. And then after that, folks, we are continuing on I'm basically taking the podcast daily to do stuff here in December of 2024 because apparently I don't take holidays off anymore like I used to. I do a bunch of podcasts. After the holiday and Lego holiday special episode, I think I have one person in mind. Hopefully she'll agree to it, but it hasn't happened yet. We're going to do a 30th anniversary of Forrest Gump because that's 38 years old this year.
Aww.
And then Dave and I are going to enter into a 10-episode journey as we step out of the galaxy far, far away, and we go sleuthing because we got just one more thing to talk about.
Yes. So excited.
So that's what's coming up here on the podcast. Any final thoughts from you before I run through all the other contact information, sir?
No, I mean, I'm glad you like the film. I wish I could have been a little bit less. It's weird. I don't hate it. I don't hate any of the sequel films, but I'm just it is the quintessential. You know, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, and just for all like they had all the money in the world. They had all the talent in the world. There are literally probably multiple at this point, like two generations of people that grew up with Star Wars that would have happily, you know, sold their kidneys to make these films.
Yeah.
And just there is no excuse for it not to at least be okay.
Yeah.
And not to be like pretty like good. Like maybe you could never capture magic in the bottle again. Like you think like Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's okay. It's kind of good. Like, you know, like the person who made it loved Ghostbusters. Like, I just it's heartbreaking. Like, because it is my franchise, and it was the rare. I mean, the prequels were weird, but as a general rule, it was the rare franchise that kind of had an almost perfect batting average, because the guy in charge was one guy and one vision, and it wasn't like this guy did this and this guy did that and this guy did this film and this guy did this film, and then Disney got a hold of it and kind of. Again, I get the prequels are a thing.
Yep.
I came in late on that, or I would have much more opinions about prequels. Just like there was a level of quality, a level of passion to Star Wars that I feel the sequels lack, which is weird because Abrams is clearly a massive fanboy.
Yep.
So it's just, and to be fair, I know he didn't want to do the third film. Like, if you notice in the credits, Colin Trevorrow got a writing credit. Because he was supposed to direct the third film, and he got into it with Rian Johnson apparently, and left, and so they scrambled and brought in Abrams to do the third film. He didn't want to do it, so I you know whatever. Like just your line missed opportunity. I think summons up every because you know we can't go back and redo it.
Yep.
Because we already lost Carrie and we lost a lot of other people. So.
Yep. Unfortunately.
And then they got some money out of it, so I guess I don't know.
Yeah, they got some out of it.
They built a whole theme park based on that era, which nobody likes or wants, and a whole hotel based on Rey, which closed a year later. Okay.
Star Wars is a
sinking
Mandalorian ship. It's a blown up Razor Crest at this point.
Sinking, son. They're sending. Billionaires are dying on their attempts to go down and like observe the wreckage.
I know.
Sinking.
I don't want to say. I gotta have a little bit of hope on the edge of the galaxy here. I mean, come on.
I have
man.
One hope, and it's Andor season 2, and it's that Kathleen Kennedy pays no attention to it.
Thank you for joining.
Let Gilroy do his thing.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can shoot us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. You can follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio, at it's ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TF2 and Mike. Dave is not on social media. Well, he's not on
Twitter.
Apparently,
it's a Draper thing. We like to hide in the dark and barely be seen.
Become a fan on Facebook at facebook.com/geekcastradio. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there, as well as joining the Toy World Order fans group. Join us next time. As I mentioned, we will be back with Dave and I discussing Craig Miller's Star Wars memories and his second book, More Movie Memories. For now, I am TFU and Mike with
Dave Draper.
We'll hear us back in the studio soon.